I gave some of y'all the archery tournament we have coming up. I was telling you about, I got some of the flyers made. So if you guys, when church is over, if you want one or something, or you know a place you can put one, we've already got some around, and we've given some to some of y'all that we knew that you guys would know where they need to go. But if you want another one, if you know where you can hang one up, word of mouth, I got them up here on my pulpit. Just come up after church and get you a couple, whatever you need. We can print some more off. We need them. Had Diana run some off there, some copies, and so appreciate that. Everybody helping out with that. Going to be in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I was fortunate this week. Tuesday I preached at a preacher's fellowship meeting, preachers and their wives up at Foster Covington's church, Victory Independent Baptist. Tuesday morning I preached there. Yesterday we did the Solomon's Mission, fed the people at the mission. Had a message there, got together for the people that were about to eat, and so shared that with them. And so that's been a blessing anytime we get to preach the word and point people towards Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. I like this text quite a bit, preached on it before, but just got a great lesson for us. The Bible says, while he yet spake, talking about Jesus, while he spake these things, unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad unto all that land. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for each person here, their presence, Lord. What an encouragement. I pray you speak to our hearts today, Lord. Make yourself known. We have a reality of your presence here today as we worship you. You know every need of every heart. And Lord, we pray you speak to us and pray we're attentive to your voice. And we thank you, Lord, that you died for us and that we can be saved. Thankful that we can live in victory through you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Getting in the Way of Blessing. And the text today, this account is in two other gospel accounts. And I always wonder about some of the parables or and this isn't a parable, this is an actual story, but even some of the stories that are in the Bible, you know, some of them aren't in, sometimes they're only in one gospel account, one gospel writer saw fit, but when I see it in like three or four, some stories are in all four gospel accounts, you know, it puts a lot of weight on that for me. I mean, there's some significance, and three gospel writers had told this story, and some of them have more details. I'll kind of try to point that out a little bit as we go along with the story there. But, you know, we see two different people. We see Jesus. He's moving through a crowd. There's two people that showed up that really reached out to the Lord, completely different people. One man's name, that man's name is Jairus, and the other gospel accounts say that he came to Jesus and his daughter wasn't yet dead. He came to Jesus, and while he was talking to the Lord, that somebody came and said, they told him, well, your daughter has died. And then he probably thought that, well, it was nothing the Lord could do. It was too late. This account didn't talk about that. But we see he was a leading Jewish man, a ruler of the Jews, probably a ruler in the synagogue, led in the worship of God. We have an anonymous woman. We don't even know her name. So people from opposite ends of the spectrum there. As I said, Jairus led in worship. This woman, the Jews were funny. If you had certain things wrong with you that you couldn't go, they would deem you to be unclean. You couldn't go to the house of worship and worship. So here was a leader of the worship and then a woman that was ceremonially unclean because of her issue of blood. She wasn't able to worship, so they were pretty far apart on the spectrum there. When Jairus came, he was pleading for his daughter. This woman had a need of her own that was known only to God. The man's daughter had been healthy 12 years and died. This woman had an issue of blood 12 years. I'm not sure what the significance of both of them, of the year, the 12 years. Maybe somebody's got a message on that. I don't know. I don't know why that is, but they both had the same a problem going on there that involved the number 12. But and what we do see this by both people that they had a humble faith they put faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to know, and we should know this, but maybe you don't, that faith will get you a blessing, and faith will give you victory over things in your life. Faith will get you a blessing, and it'll give you victory over things in your life. So I just have 3 points that I want to talk about, and we'll see that in our text today. Very first one, victory over doubt. Faith gives you victory over doubt. Actually, doubt is the opposite of faith. We have a lot of doubt. I know we do a lot of praying in life, and we pray at church, and hopefully everybody prayed today. A lot of times we pray, and we don't really expect God to do anything. We pray, kind of doubting. It's not maybe we don't doubt so much that it could God do it. It's just, would God do it? We don't pray really that with that kind of believing faith that we could and should have in Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand something. If we're going to see God work in our life, if we're going to see God work in our church, if we're going to see God work in our nation, that, we're going to have faith in Jesus Christ. Pray, believe in. Don't you know that, I got to preach yesterday at the Solomon's Mission thing. I had a message there called, it's just from a phrase in the Bible that says, if any man. There was a lot of phrases in John, if any man. Come to me and I'll stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and let me in, that he can be saved. And, those three phrases, there's a stipulation there, that you do have to let Jesus into your life. He said, I'll stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, there's the if part is our side of it. We got to open the door to faith. So there's that. We see here, there's a lot of people that were in that crowd. I use this as an illustration in that message. There's a lot of people in that crowd that were coming to see Jesus for I don't know why, just the novelty of it. Maybe some of his fame had spread. Obviously it had. They got all around Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, every single person in the crowd had a need of some kind. And if they didn't have an immediate need, every single person in the crowd knew somebody that had a need. You know how prayer meetings go. When we have a prayer meeting, don't all of us got somebody that we could pray for? Don't we have somebody that we know that needs to be prayed about? We know somebody that's lost. We know somebody that's sick. We know somebody that's passed away and a family needs prayer. We know somebody that needs to be prayed over, and then our own needs, right? We all got needs, right? We got, if it's not a physical need, I'll tell you what, we went right, this is a little side story. Sherry and I got bicycles for Christmas. 62 years old, I got a bicycle. Man, how dumb is that? Anybody want to buy one? I got two of them, I'll sell you right now. Me and my wife got bicycles. I said, all right, honey, before it was too cold. Yesterday it was too hot. But we rode out in the evening and we rode them bicycles, right? Well, going out, if you've been up to my house, right, it's pretty much downhill on the way out, one little stretch. And we rode all down to Buck Cannon, come up Low Street. Man, that wind was blowing. Man, I stopped a couple times, act like I was waiting on her. I was really just getting my breath. And then we had to go back up Culpeper Street. Man, I had that thing in low gear, man. I was like, oh, my gosh. Finally, I got up and walked it up, and then we went around, and then we turned back to our house. And we start up that one dirt part, I was holding the bicycle seat, walking along, waiting on Sherry, walking along. She's back there, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm going to die. I don't think I'm going to make it. And we got it up over the hill, and then I rode on down, got down there about where the Moors live. Oh, man, I'm walking again. Stopped 3 times on our driveway once we got on the paved part. I said, man, I wonder if I can get $150 for both of these things. I mean, I got a motorcycle sitting in the drive in the garage, got an engine on it, man. You ain't got to pedal that thing. Huh? I said, man, my back is killing me, man. I got up this morning, man. I said, good night, man. I said, she goes, I bet I'm going to be sore. I said, I bet you're going to be sore too. And so right there, I got a need already, right? My back hurts. I mean, I sat down here in Brian's class and I got up when it was over with and I thought, good grief, I'm not going to make it. But we got needs. We got physical needs. We got spiritual needs, no doubt. And but you know what? When you think about that, the only two people in the crowd, that got a blessing from Jesus were the two people that went to him specifically. I mean, they apprehended Christ. It says that Jairus went up to him and went right to him and said, look, here's my knee. He talked to Jesus. And the woman went and she touched the hem of his garment. She got a hold of his garment. Now, that seems a little superstitious, I know, but at the same time, God knows our thoughts, right? He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our mind. And so when we think about that, only two people in all that crowd of people, even though we already know that everybody in the crowd either had a need or they knew somebody that had a need, the only people that got a blessing were the two people that really went in there and apprehended, got a hold of Jesus Christ. I got a song. I listen to all kind of music, Christian music. I like different styles of Christian music. There's a gospel song, and the one of the lines goes like this. God's got a blessing waiting for you, but you got to get in the way to get it. You know, that's the truth. You know, God's got a blessing waiting for you, but you got to get in the way if you want to get the blessing. Now, a lot of people got around Jesus that day. There was a crowd getting around him, but just getting around Jesus isn't necessarily going to do anything for you. I was preaching yesterday, and I used the bread of life. If any man, and Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, if any man, you know, will take and eat, and it's talking about taking Jesus into your life, you know, that he would give him life. And so here's the thing about that, you can take bread, you can get around, if you get real hungry, you can stand around there a loaf of bread all day long. You can eyeball that thing sitting there on the counter. It's not going to do anything for you. You can go out. You know, how many of you like to smell bread when it's cooking? Man, I'm telling you what. You can smell bread till you're blue in the face. It's not going to satisfy your hunger. It's probably going to make it worse. It doesn't do anything. You can hang around. You know, you can be around bread. But the only way that bread is going to do anything for you is if you take that bread into your life. And so it's the same with Jesus. Listen, you can come hang around church till you're blue in the face. You can come around and you can hang around the Bible. You can carry this word right here. You can carry it. You can set it on the coffee table. You can set it on the bedstand. But I'm going to tell you what, unless you take the Word of God into your life, it's not going to do anything for you. And you can know about Jesus. You can even pray to Jesus. But if you don't have Jesus apprehend him. I like the fact that she took a hold of his garment, man. She wanted him. I like that picture that she took Jesus Christ into her life. That's why Jesus said, you know, that you had to eat. He didn't mean eat him physically, but he meant he had to, you know, you have to take it into your life. You are what you eat, the Bible says. And in a spiritual way, that applies too. You know, if you take Christ into your life, it makes a difference in your life. And so the only two people that got a blessing from Jesus were the people that apprehended. I mean, they went ahead and they got a hold of Jesus for what, you know, for what it was worth. And they apprehended that by faith. Verse 18 of our text says that Jairus came down and he worshiped. It means that he bowed down at Jesus' feet. Now you think about it from his point of view. By now the religious leaders were already plotting to kill Jesus. But he had to come and he had to bow down at the feet of Jesus. It took courage to do that. And he came, you know, the Bible tells us Nicodemus came by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came by night because he was worried about it at first. But Jairus came in broad daylight because he had a daughter that was laying on her bed that was dying and at the point of death and actually died while he was talking to Jesus. Man, I imagine that was he was desperate. I mean, he was in a need. He was he didn't know what else to do. He didn't know what else to turn. He had a position in life. He was actually a wealthy man, but it couldn't help. How many of you know that money can't fix everything in life? Huh? How many of you know that there's problems out there? Actually, there's problems out there that money can't help. And I'm going to tell you what, there's problems out there that money can actually cause. Huh? You get your money. I'm going to tell you what, some of y'all fall into a bunch of money. You know what we're going to be saying? Bye-bye. Because everybody's going to be saying, where's old brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? Oh, they're out on the boat. They're out on the at the lake. They're at the cabin. They done went on vacation. They went everywhere, man. They're gone because they got a bunch of money. Now they don't need God, and they're going to go bye-bye. Money can cause you some problems. But now I'm not saying, listen, I like that guy up in New York. There's a preacher up there on the radio. He said, hey, if money is your problem, send your problems to me. You know, so if money is your problem, send your problem to me. But, you know, it could can't cause you some problems. So money can't fix everything. But Jairus came, and he came humbly, and he called out to Jesus. And then we see the woman that she came, and she reached out. And you know, some of the commentators I was reading about that, they said, well, you know what, that she had weak faith. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not a commentator, but I'm an uncommentator. I'm not a commentator, don't as much, I guess I am a commentator because I commentate to you, but I don't think she had weak faith. It might have been, like I said, a little bit superstitious. Maybe she thought that, I don't know what she thought by grabbing the hem of his garment, what was going to take place, what it was. But I mean, it took a lot of effort there or thought to come and push through the crowd and touch Jesus, his garment. I think there's a crowd thonging. Actually, in some of the other texts, it says, Jesus turned around and said to the disciples, he said, who touched me? And they even said, Master, said, look at all these, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. They said, look at all these people. You want to know who touched you? Good grief. There's all kind of people out here. I think they weren't the only ones that came to him. She wasn't the only person that brushed up against him or grabbed the hem of his garment. But here's the thing. He said, I know that somebody touched me because my virtue, which means his power, is gone out. It doesn't mean that Jesus' power ran like he had a full tank and then it's down a little bit, you know, eight. It just meant that he knew that power had been transferred from him to this somebody else. She was the one that was grabbing on with faith. She reached out and he knew her heart. And she's, of all them people that may have brushed up against him and touched him and done that and got close, she's the one that grabbed and she's the one that Jesus knew her heart. He knew her heart. And I'm going to tell you here, you're here today. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows your heart. It doesn't matter. You know, you can come in and say, well, I'm just coming out of obligation. I'm just coming because it's a habit. I'm just coming. I'm not expecting anything. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ knows that too. If you're not expecting anything, you won't be disappointed. You won't get anything. But if you come when you're expecting something from Jesus, you want him to speak to your heart. I'm going to tell you something, then you will receive something from Christ because he knows the power, his power transferred. Actually, he's quite happy when his power is transferred from himself to us when we get that power. He wants that to take place in our life. And, you know, she wanted a blessing. She wanted a healing. And not only that, she got more than what she expected. She got it all, but I believe she got saved too. Jesus never dealt with anybody only in the physical sense. He always dealt with their spiritual need as along with the physical need. And so, you know what? Both people had really, I think both of them, Jairus, they don't know everything. We know more than they knew, but they had strong faith. They had humble faith. And then this key word here, they had an active faith. Faith is an active thing. Faith was what caused them, you know, we can sit around all day and say, well, I believe Jesus can heal and I believe Jesus can save and I believe Jesus is going to do something. But boy, they acted on that faith. I mean, they grabbed a hold of it and went and they did, you know, got to Jesus and did something. So real faith is an active thing. They got to Jesus. The second thing is we see that there was victory over disease. This woman had a disease and said that she had spent all of her living and consumed all of her money for 12 years. She had gone to every physician to find out if they could cure her, and they couldn't get it. All of her money and people then they didn't have a lot of money, and she had spent it all on the physicians, and nothing had helped her. It was consuming her body. It was consuming her purse. It was consuming her, you know, account. And then also, she could not go and worship God. Boy, what a dilemma to be in, because under Judaism, you had to be, there was certain things. They were real funny about blood. And there was certain things they couldn't come and worship God. I mean, what a terrible dilemma to be in. I mean, you know, you got a problem. Nobody can meet your need. Under the Judaism, the rites and rules of worship, you couldn't go to God. I mean, man, what was she going to do? I mean, she was in a bind right there. She hadn't been, just think about it, 12 years, she hadn't been to a worship service, hadn't been able to go and worship God. And she's in a bad place right there. Now, her dilemma Her spiritual dilemma is a great picture of sin. Now, I want you to know something. God don't send nobody to hell because they got a disease. That's, you know, a lot of these sins we got out there in the world now. You take a bottle, tip it up, put it in your mouth, tip up the other end of it, and suck down a bunch of alcohol, and then you keep doing that, and then they say, oh, you got a disease. You ain't got a disease. You got a vice. You got a sin. Sure, it's physically addicting now, but you can listen. You can take that stuff and pour it all over your head and everything, and you're not going to catch no disease out of it, right? I mean, it's not a disease. It's a sin. Man, it's turned into something else. Don't let the world put that lie in your head. That's just an escape thing that you can run around feeling sorry. Well, I got a disease and I can't help it. You could have helped it if you hadn't stuffed that bottle in your mouth in the first place, right? So you got a disease and God doesn't send you to hell for being a disease. And in Revelation, it says all drunkards are going to be in hell. And it's not because they caught something they couldn't help. Amen. A little help here, folks, a little help. But here's the thing. Her illustration does picture sin. Number one, it consumed all her money. Man, how many people out here? Man, they ain't got a pot to do their business in and a window to throw it out of. And they're burning all their money up on dope, man, spending every dime they got. Women out there selling their bodies because they've got to get enough money to go out and do some more drugs. I've watched some of them things on TV. One guy had been a Wall Street stockbroker, man, had the Mercedes, had it all, man, got hooked on heroin. Man, he's living in a cardboard box, done lost his wife, his family, his house, don't have nothing. Right there during the interview, man, got enough money. There he was. They film him. He's walking away, man, can't hardly walk. His body's all mangled up because he's been shooting up dope all his life. He's going heading on down to get the next fix. Saying, well, I know I shouldn't do it. Man, I need to get off of it. Stuff it right in his vein right here. Every dime he's got. Let me tell you, sin, it don't matter if it's drugs, alcohol, sin, just sin in general. Burn it up, burn it up, burn it up. Man, how many of you remember the day when you lived from Friday to Friday? Man, I mean, Friday came, you got paid. I was in the Navy one time. We got paid every 2 weeks. On Friday night, I got paid at 3:30. At 7:30, I had $12 left in my pocket. At 7:30 that very day, I had two more weeks I had to go before I got paid. How you like that one? What'd you burn it up on? You don't want to know. Huh? Nothing good. It was all just sin. That's all it was. It was all burned up, man. And I'm telling you how many people that's all you do. You take your money and you just living, man. You used to go, you got paid on Friday, boy, rip and run all weekend, boy, just waiting, living on Monday. Didn't have no bank account. If you had it in there, didn't have, like, we got $12.39 in a checking account. I mean, big, you know, you got sin will consume you. It'll consume your money. It'll take everything away. And, you know, what are you trying to do? I shared this with the people yesterday. The reason you do all that stuff is you're trying to have fun. Boy, ain't it fun to wake up on Sunday morning with your head busting open like a pumpkin, man, because you've been out drinking all night. Ain't that fun? Huh? You laying over there so hungover? Or are you on dope, man? You got the jitters and you can't, you know, and you look at them and around here, meth heads, man, are all over the place, man, making, every time you turn around, somebody's making meth. And I mean, they're doing all that. And then you look and they smile at you, every other tooth missing, man, ulcers all over their gums, man, they ain't all shriveled up and shrunk up. Ain't that, they're having fun. Huh? Ain't that fun? Huh, that's just fun, isn't it? Yeah. What do you really want? Why do you do that stuff? Because we just want to have a good time. Huh? I mean, we just want to have a good time. Let's get a bunch of drugs. Let's get some needles, man. Let's get some alcohol. Let's do this. Let's just go hog wild, buck naked, man. Let's do everything. We're going to have fun. That's really what you want to do. Everybody just wants to be happy, right? Everybody wants to be happy. That's why, you know, isn't that the deal? I mean, who goes say, boy, I can't wait till tomorrow, man. I just want to get in a funky state. I just want to be sad. No, that ain't what you do. You want to be happy. Huh? You get your job. I mean, we got to have stuff. You make money because you want to get stuff because stuff's going to make you happy. You want to get happy. You want to go out and party because you want to have a good time. Everything, you know, you want to be happy. You want to be satisfied. You want to have joy. You want to have peace and all that. But I'm going to tell you, all the other stuff's not going to give it to you. It's not going to give it to you. You know, you might be temporarily happy, but you're never going to have joy. Huh? You're not going to be at peace. You know, those things just don't exist right there. And so that's really what's going on in sin. So sin destroys our body. Sin, hey, listen, sin's fun. If it wasn't fun, you wouldn't do it in the first place. Huh? I mean, it's got to be fun. And so we're all trying to be happy. And then also sin has separated us from God. You know, and listen, the doctors in the world don't have an answer for it. There was no cure. And all she could do was go to Jesus. And it, listen, the world don't have a cure for sin. We got more laws. You couldn't care. You think the Jews had a lot of laws? If they put all the laws of the land, of this country, every state, county, municipality, city, the little, I had to get, before I went on my big bike ride, I had to Google up bike laws and make sure that I didn't have to wear a helmet. I thought, man, I grew up my whole life without wearing a helmet riding a bicycle. I want to make sure it wasn't against the law. I didn't know if you had to ride, you don't have to wear one if you're over 14. I said, well, I just missed it, but, you know, I was okay. I was a little bit over 14, so I didn't have to wear a helmet. We got laws everywhere, right? Now they got all these other laws they want to do. People shooting people, and they say, well, we got to make another gun law. It's already against the law to shoot people. It's against the law to kill people. This is what I've come to this conclusion. You can't make a law to make people obey the laws. Why don't we just wait? It's against the law to break the law. Like Barney Fife said, obey all rules. the number one rule is to obey all rules. We already got laws, right? So what happens? We can't do it. So the world doesn't have an answer for the sin problem, because we've made enough laws to keep us from sinning. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God's given us the Ten Commandments. We're not doing that. We're not obeying. We've got the laws. So a bunch of rules and regulations don't get it done. And Christianity is not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's Jesus. You just take it to Jesus, see? Because see, when he comes in your heart, guess what? I don't need a law. I no longer need a law. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in my heart. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead me to murder my neighbor. Huh? The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead me to steal. Huh? The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead me to do a bunch of dope. Huh? I mean, we go down there to Colorado. Randy goes along with me down there. He got marijuana's legal down there in Colorado. I got to watch him like a hawk, man. He's always wanting to sneak out. Huh? Huh? I got to watch him, man. He's creeping out that hotel room. It's just down the street on the left. It's about, let's see, the address. No, I'm just kidding. You got to watch him. I mean, we got the Holy Spirit of God, right? He's the one that leads us and guides. She took it to Jesus. That's what you've got to do. And so the only thing that she could have done, and listen, think about the excuses not to come to Jesus. Think about her excuses. Well, listen, man, there's a big crowd of people. I probably can't get to him. You know, I've had this thing for so long, there's probably nothing he can do. What will people think? All the reasons under the world, all the excuses she could have had. I'm having a bad day. I mean, you got an issue of blood. I'd say that's a bad day. She had it every day for 12 years. I mean, all the things that she couldn't. But you know what? She just said, listen, I'm coming. I'm going to Jesus. I'm getting to Jesus. Huh? I'm getting to Jesus no matter what, and I'm going to touch him. And as I said, his virtue, his power. Jesus desires that his power come into our life. But then Jesus called her out. Now listen, this is Jesus, right? He said, who touched me? Didn't he know? Oh, yeah. He knew. So what did he do that for? Is he trying to make her look bad? Uh-uh. You know what it was? He wanted her to do the one thing that God created us all for, our sole purpose. If you don't know what the meaning of life is, I'm going to lay it on you today. You'll go home very wise. Glorify God. Huh? That's it. He wanted her public testimony. He wanted her to say, hey, my virtue's gone out. It said immediately her blood stanched, I think is the word it used. It stopped. It would just stop. He wanted her to say, hey, man, I had a problem for 12 years and nobody could do nothing about it, but I went up here and I just put my faith in Jesus Christ, and buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm a new woman right now. He wanted that public testimony. That's what he wants from us. And man, listen, man, God, he delights in that. Man, listen, if Jesus Christ has done something for you, man, say amen, right? I mean, if he, you know, give a shout, let people know what it's all about. I mean, Brian was telling in his Sunday school class this morning about a guy that he's kind of wanting to witness to, and I think Chip had witnessed to him, and anyway, he didn't know where he was, but some old man came and talked to the guy, and the old man told this man that they want to witness to, I'm going to give God all the glory. I'm going to give God all the glory. God did something for me, man. I mean, this was like a public testimony to somebody that was lost. That people are witnessing to, man. Give God the glory for what God has done in your life. And that's what he wanted right there, a public profession, and then encourage others. Listen, there was a man there that needed some encouragement. His name was Jairus. He had a daughter dying at a house, and Jesus stopped, and in the middle of it, she said, hey, listen, I had an incurable disease for 12 years. Nobody could do nothing about it, but Jesus just healed me. I think Jairus, he got a little bit of hope kind of popped up in there. He said, man, if that's the case, man, maybe he can do something for me right there. And so, and Jesus told her, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Well, you know, what does that mean? How do you know that she got saved? How do you know that Jesus just didn't heal her? He said, daughter, be in verse 22, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole right there means complete. It means, and when you're complete, listen, you're not completely whole if you're only physically healed. The only time you're complete is when you have salvation as well. Listen, you could get cured of every disease under the face of the sun and be lost and still die and go to hell. That wouldn't be made whole. She said, thy faith hath made thee complete. And that tells us that she got saved. Well, how do you get saved? By faith. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's by putting faith in Jesus Christ. What did she do? Put faith in Jesus Christ. She probably didn't know that all that was going to take place, but it did take place. And so we've got that victory over disease. And then the last thing we see is victory over death right there. Jairus, as I said, the other gospel accounts, he's informed while he's with Jesus that his daughter is dead. And I think right there, you know what he did? He does the same thing that we do with God all the time. I think right there, he put a limit on what Jesus could do. I think as soon as he said, well, she's dead, well, that's it. I mean, probably not that nonchalantly, but I think in his mind, he resigned himself to the fact that that was it. That was, you know, there's a limit. There's a limit to what God can do. And I think we do the same thing. Well, you know, God could do it, but if you put a but on it, I mean, there's a doubt. You know, it's opposite of faith. I think he had probably done that. And I mean, I'm not criticizing him. I mean, we probably would do the same thing. We might not even have the faith to get there in the first place, but I think he had put a limit on it. But the thing is, Jesus had saw that Jairus had some faith. He had enough faith to come to him. And if we exercise a little bit of faith, the Bible says if you got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, that you could ask God to cast a mountain into the sea. And I'm going to tell you, if it's God's will, he'll throw it into the sea. I mean, just faith the size of a mustard seed. Most of us aren't throwing a lot of mountains off in the sea or having them thrown. So it means our faith isn't as even as big as a grain of a mustard seed. But I think Jairus had some small amount of faith. And so Jesus is thinking, you got some faith, I'm going to increase it. I'm going to increase you some faith. See, you got to have the first before you get the next. You got to have a little bit of faith before God's going to show you some faith. Well, how do you know? I'll show you. It's right there in the text. Look what it said. He went on there. When he got down to Jairus, he said Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and people making noise. He said to them, give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, in other words, if you read all the other accounts, what happened was he just took Jairus and a couple of his disciples with him. And the people that were laughing at him, he said, y'all get out of here. You're not coming in. In other words, not only did they not get a blessing, they didn't even get to see it. They didn't even get to see a blessing. Well, you know, you think, wow, that isn't the way I would do it. The way I would do it was I'd let them all see it and then they'd really have faith. But see, he said, listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. That wouldn't be faith if you see it. Faith is when you haven't seen it and you believe. Faith is when you haven't seen it, not faith when you do see it. And so he put them forth. They didn't get to see that. So they didn't get to see it. They didn't get a blessing. Let me ask you this. You see God doing anything in your life? You see God doing anything in your life? If not, maybe the problem is that you really don't have any faith. Not any faith that God can build on. You know where you're really, really putting your faith and trust in Him? Just a little bit. Listen, God will create. I can remember things, man, I'd pray about it thinking, oh, man, and then it like happened. And I remember when I got unemployed, when we first moved down here and we didn't have any money. We were down to, I had $30 in a checkbook. We were getting ready to come to church on Sunday morning. And I told Sherry, I said, we're going to have to buy some hot dogs, some bologna, something. We got to eat. Got the kids, was small. Didn't have no money in the bank. Didn't have no job. Didn't know what I was going to do. I said, electric bill was due. I said, I got to eat. Electric bill, got to eat, right? Man, here comes a truck down the driveway. Guy come in with all kind of groceries. My neighbor, Bill Light, he's dead now. Brought all kind of groceries, took us several trips to bring them in. 2 days later, stepmom came. We had to put food in coolers, put them outside. It was in the winter, Thanksgiving. Countertop was covered. I said, hey, God said, listen, I told you I'd take care of you, didn't I? And guess what? It's like, wow, he really did. He took care of it. You know, hey, yeah, I knew it all along. Yeah, sir. Yeah, I was a nervous wreck, man. I didn't know what I was. I had TMJ. I was so stressed out, I couldn't talk more than just one about half a sentence, and I'll talk through my teeth. I was so nervous about what I was going to do. I said, hey, God took care of it. He said he would, right? Oh, yeah, okay. I see that, you know? And God, man, I mean, listen, God can work. You know, if you're not seeing God doing anything in your life, maybe one you're not expecting, maybe you're not looking, maybe you're not putting faith in God, you know, faith that he would really do something. He put him out, and the Bible says that Jesus, he raised her from the dead. Raised her from the dead. There's three resurrections recorded in the Gospels. I know Jesus did more because he told, when John had inquired about Jesus, if he was the one or was there another one to come, and Jesus told whoever asked John, said, you know, you go tell them and say the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. He said the dead are raised to life again. I know he raised some other to life, but we only got three accounts that we have. But in each case, the person raised gave evidence of a new life. The widow's son, he spoke. Jairus' daughter, she walked, and she had an appetite. It says she wanted to eat. And Lazarus, he changed his clothes. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Took off them old grave clothes. It's all pictures of being saved from sin and raised from spiritual death. You know what happens when you get saved? I'm going to tell you what happens. Your speech changes. Your speech changes. Man, I read all about the Welsh revival. They said in Wales, when the big revival spread through Wales, all them old people, they was old pub drinkers. You know, they hung out and drank, and they had all these old mules that they used to work in the mines. They had trained them mules with cuss words. And when the Welsh revival happened, two things happened. All the bars closed down. And the second thing happened, they had to retrain the mules because they didn't when they wouldn't cuss at them no more when they got saved. This is a true story. They wouldn't cuss at them. The mules didn't know what they was talking about. They had to retrain them, give them new directions. Man, what happens when you get saved? Your speech changes. When I tell you what, your walk changes. Where you walk, how you walk. And then we see her appetite change. Well, she had an appetite, and that means that you have an appetite for spiritual things or the things of God. And then all of a sudden, your appearance changes. Old Lazarus come out, and Jesus said, take him grave clothes off of him. Took him old raggedy clothes from that old dead life when you're dead. Listen, all the stuff from our dead life. You know, the dung gate, Brian, you was talking about the dung, all that old dead stuff, what they had around Jerusalem. You take everything out of your life. You get rid of some stuff that don't need to be in your life. Things change, man. That's the evidence of a new life. Let me ask you this. Have you gotten in the way of blessing? Have you gotten in the way of blessing? Can you see that just being in a crowd around Jesus, being around churchy things or God things, don't necessarily give you new life? You got to grab onto it. See, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. My relationship with Jesus don't do anything for you. It doesn't, I mean, it might help you if I have a relationship with Jesus and I pray about what to preach on. That might help the message there. I hope it does. But it's not going to give you life unless you grab it. You've got to get a hold of it. What's your heart's desire? What do you want? Listen, right now, Jesus knows what's in your heart. He knows if you need to be saved. He knows if you want to be saved. He knows if his relationship with you is a real thing. He wants you to grab on, man. And his power, his virtue goes into our life. He gives us the Holy Spirit when we get saved. That's the virtue. That's the power in our life. He knows. He knows if you're not expecting anything. He knows if you are. He knows what you want. Bring it to Jesus. But he wants you to reach out, and he wants your testimony. He wants your testimony. Let's all stand.